Praise God. Amen. And God is blessed when we talk about his goodness. He just is. You know, we like it if somebody talks about our goodness. And God is not beyond, you know, the feelings that he gives to us. A prayer alerts heaven. There's a believer. You know. And I don't think that there's a little gauge that lights up in heaven that says, well, that one's kind of a weak one. I think that a prayer is a prayer. And I think that when we pray, we draw closer to God. We open up a channel for him to come in. We open up a channel for Holy Spirit to bear witness with it. Even if it's barely a crack, you know. And I will look up, David said. If I don't know what to say, I don't know what to pray, I don't have enough strength to stand when I look up. The heavens open up. This is the confidence we can have. I woke up at 4:44 this morning. Looked at the clock. It was 4:44. Well, my first thought was, this is too early. And my next thought was, well, as long as I'm awake, I'm going to ask the Lord, what's the significance of 4:44? He said, no significance. Well, I'm awake. And it struck me that I had just read this week sometime, and I don't know where I read it, but someone had pointed out the fact that they figured that Jesus was crucified at about 9 o'clock in the morning. And I thought about how tired he was at 4:44. He'd been grilled, mocked, going from place to place. He had answered them when they said, are you the Christ? He said, it is as you say. And it meant nothing to him. He was the Lord. He was Messiah. How could they say, oh, there's a good reason to kill him. What's the matter with these people? You know how it is, like if you're praying or even if you're just driving down the road or whatever the case might be, you can have like ping pong words from God. You'll be reminded of words or something, you know. And I think of when they said that's a good reason to kill him, that Jesus thought about, you know, when he was talking to the woman at the well, he said, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask me to give you something to drink. You'd ask me for living water. Why didn't these religious guys ask him for living water? Why didn't they go, oh, well, now that we know you're the Messiah, we will worship you. No, now that you say you are, we're going to kill you. I think that maybe there's a possibility that sometimes when we pray, we sort of pray with an attitude of, if you are God. I mean, if you really are, if you really do what you say you do, let's answer this thing quick. But our faith says, you know what? When we pray, we know he hears us. So I thought about that, how tired he was. And then I started thinking about what Isaiah said. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed, you know? And that caused me to think about what he had already taken care of by the time he got to the cross. Because he was wounded for our transgressions, so he was wounded and we were forgiven. Bruised for our iniquities, he'd already been bruised. He'd already had all the peace ripped out of him, except for the peace of God that could happen. He had secured our peace. And he had been whipped, flogged, beaten. He'd secured our healing. The contract was all made. It was already done. He just had to go the rest of the way. His death and resurrection secured our eternal life. It had to be. Even though we know he was in the garden and he said, you know, if there's another way, he was tempted in every way as we are. I wonder if he ever thought about enough. But instead he waited and said, it is finished. Dutch Sheets was sharing about that this week, and he said that he talked about the fact, you know, sometimes when they portray him, it's like he's, it is finished. He said it wasn't that, it was a shout according to the word. He's yelling, it is finished! And he compared that to, what's that movie? Where the guy said, freedom! Yeah, Mel Gibson, anyway, in that movie, he was yelling. Anyway, it wasn't just some gasping final breath. It was, this is a done deal now. But you know, he was wounded for me. We know these things, but it, 4 o'clock in the morning, it was just speaking volumes to me. How great is our God? And then I thought about what a prayer does. What it does. I mean, the Bible says that the prayer of faith is important, you know, because that way it does a great deal for us. But when we pray, it does a great deal for God. You know, it's like it does. It says to Jesus, it was worth it. It was worth it. I'm so glad that I went through all that, Jesus says, you know. You work on something or you help somebody with something and then you see it produce something and you feel good about it. It was worth the effort. And sometimes you do things and only God sees them, but you get a witness of the Spirit that it was a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name. I often think about the Parley Pro teams, and I've said it before, you know, when they open their meeting, they go, what are we here for? And then they say their little spiel about, and it's all stuff that they're providing, what they're doing, why they're doing it. And so when we come to God, what are we there for? We can look at the things in the world, the things far away and the things near, and we can be encouraged by the devil that there ain't nothing we can do. And we cannot pray because we don't know what to pray. Or we cannot pray because we don't think our prayers do much. And we can, and anytime you have a thought like that, that's not God. Pray. Oh, Lord. Oh, that's a powerful prayer. That moves heaven and earth. Oh, Lord. That's what Jesus said. My God. My God. And then he utters the prayer that nobody can really fully explain. Why have you forsaken me? Surely he had more faith than that. One thing that Jesus had never felt before was the absence of the Father. That was painful. And Jesus died so that we would never, ever, 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 ever feel that. And that if we did feel like that, we would never, ever, ever, ever believe that we were without him. Because he doesn't ever, ever want us to go through that. He doesn't have us pray and then say, well, we'll just let you feel like I don't care for a little bit. That'll teach you a lesson. That's not Jesus. And people will say, well, you didn't get your prayers answered because of some sin. That's not Jesus. When you call, he says, I'm going to answer. We need to leave timing to him. When the angel came to Zacharias and Zacharias was afraid, the angel said, don't be afraid, Zacharias. I've come to tell you that God has heard your prayers. And I think that there's a little bit of something in that that Zacharias didn't really know what prayer he was talking about. And so the angel throws out this one. Yep, you're going to have a baby. They perhaps quit praying about that a long time ago. You know? But he said, that's the prayer I'm talking about. And Zacharias had probably lots of thoughts. Like, it's about time. Or it's a little late. Or why now? We just got used to that. You know, I mean, they have a lot of thoughts, but he said, how can I be sure this is true? And the angel said, hey, I'm talking to you. I came from God, and because you don't believe me, you're not going to talk. I'm going to keep you from speaking no faith. Put a guard over my mouth, Lord. Make it impossible for me to speak no faith. Make me like that guy in the movie, I Can't Lie. Was killing him, but he couldn't lie. I can't speak if I don't speak faith. Well, that is not true, but God, give me ears to hear and catch myself and correct myself. And to just pray and believe. I mean, Mary sharing about how they believe for a miracle and believe for a miracle, I've been there. And I've always found with God that he has a greater miracle than I could have prayed for. That doesn't make it painless, and that doesn't make it, I could care less, but it makes it true. And because God has put his faith in us, then we can, poof, we can step into peace just that quick. Because the chastisement of my peace was upon him. He took care of this situation before the cross. He took care of this situation. He sealed the deal on the cross. But he took care of this. The chastisement of my peace was upon him so that I can step into peace. Will I step into peace? Won't you come in out of the storm? Somebody's standing at your door and you welcome in out of the storm and they say, oh, I can't with all this on me. Or you say something to somebody and you mean it and they say, are you sure? Like they're going to give you a chance to change your mind. When you pray, the Lord doesn't say, are you sure that's what you want to pray? He takes it into account. Our kids wanted us to play Wordle with them. If you don't know what Wordle is, five-letter words. Comes up every day, there's a new five-letter word. And you get six chances to choose it, to find it, to guess it. Six chances. And if you choose a word and it has a letter that you, in the actual word that you've written down, and it puts in that letter. If it's in the wrong place, it's one color. And if it's in the right place, it's green. So you know the word's got that letter in it. Oh, man, it's really something. And each time that you do it, it puts in wherever it is. And then you got to think, okay, now a word with that letter, a word with that vowel, a word with that consonant, a word like, oh, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? You got the word for me, honey? Yeah. You know? But it's all over in a little bit of time. That's not the way prayer works. You pray. God hears. We can leave it there. You see, it means a lot to God when we believe him and we cast our cares on him. Now, when you cast your cares on him, you're supposed to lose the bait, not reel it back in. But he doesn't get mad at us if we reel it back in and carry it for a little while. You know? But the truth of the matter is that as we consider, we realize that we cast our cares. And shortly before 7, I looked at the clock again, and I said to myself, I think I should take a nap. And I always do this thing that if I hear the clocks go off, then I'm going to get up then. If I don't hear the clock, then that means I got to sleep. I didn't think I got to sleep, but I got to sleep a little while after that. But while I was trying to get to sleep, I was realizing that I had picked up some extra peace during that time of my mind racing and all of the things, you know, I mean, because when we've spent time with God, when we've had a long time with God, we've got a lot of stuff, a lot of places that we can remember. A lot of testimonies that we can remember. A lot of times when we have prayed. I think that there are times when God answers prayers and we're like Zacharias and we've forgotten we even prayed them. Because we've got a lot of prayers that we believe God, but we don't think we've seen the answer for it. And I think sometimes we get prayers answered that we forgot to pray. Those are those ones that God does before we get them prayed for. But no matter what, we can rest in the Lord. Because He has done it. And we need to, last week we talked about, are we ready? And that verse from Isaiah that says all destruction will disappear from your life, and that kind of stuff is always put way out there when Jesus returns. Rather than looking at it, isn't the word the same yesterday, today, and forever? When we read a word, if we don't skip it out beyond our reach and we look at it and we say, I think that'll work good today. All the destruction is going to disappear from my life. Why not? Why wait? Because we know that Jesus said, I've come so you could have life now. Right? And so the Word of God is a living Word and a powerful Word. And so when we look at the Word, can't we put it to work? You don't have to manipulate it to say, hey, if we're in a destructive situation, if we're in a problem situation, isn't that destructive to our lives? I'd like this destruction to disappear. I'd like it to just be gone and be out and be away. And so, hey, if God says it'll all disappear, how about now? And in the end, it will too. But what about now? Can't the Word work for us now? And so when we pray, we can leave it with God. We can put that care with God, and when we do that, again, it makes Him feel it was worth it. Because it is. It's worth it, and it challenges us to just realize, Lord, it was worth it. I'm so thankful. I'm forever grateful, Lord. Just imagine how He feels when we say to Him, I'm so thankful, Lord. Because you know how you feel when someone says, I'm so thankful, Lord. Little things that God does. Jordan has been telling us that they have peacocks. He was walking up the road and peacocks followed him home. And the next day he thought the peacocks were gone, and he found that they weren't gone. They were in the garage. And so he fed the peacocks. And now he's been gone this weekend, and I had just checked in with him and through Marco Polo, and so he Marco Polo'd me back because I asked him, how's the peacocks doing? He said, well, I think the peacocks are going to stay. He said it got cold and snowy this weekend in Tennessee, and so Jenny herded the peacocks into the garage so they'd be warm and comfortable. He said, I think they're going to stay. They got peacocks. He said, they don't stray far from the house. He said, they're pretty good guard dogs. They are noisy. But you know, little things. God does little things that are so big and so special at the time that we recognize them. And when we're in a position or in a condition or in a circumstance where we get to thinking that all is lost, if we'll just remember that the Lord is near, it will draw us out. Because we don't always know what's going on, but it's nice to know that God is for us. When Shiloh called me one day when she was running out of gas, but she didn't know she was running out of gas. She had passed Vivian to head on to, and she always had enough gas to get to Rapid from school, but she was bucking a headwind. And so I get this call, and it wasn't a convenient time, but I'm going to answer. My little girl said, "Daddy, I don't know what's going on. My car's acting funny. What's going on? It's like it loses power." I said, "Honey, I think you're out of gas." She said, "Well, I always have enough gas to get back." I said, "Yeah, but you've been bucking a wind, right?" "Yeah." I said, "You're running out of gas." And then pretty soon she said, "Daddy, my engine quit." I said, "Honey, pull over to the side of the road." And she was closer to Rapid than she was to me. But I said, "Honey, I got to go do something and then I'll call you back." And I said, "Just wait. Don't get out. Don't do anything. Just wait." I said, "You know, call Forrest. And if Forrest can come, that'll be good. And if he can't, I'll be there." And she was just glad that I was on the phone. And when I got done, I called her and she said, "He's coming." But it was starting to get dark. I said, "Don't go anywhere. He'll get there." I was just on the phone. I wasn't coming because somebody else was coming. But I was on the phone. I'd have left in a minute and headed right there, but I wasn't going to get there first. I'd get to a mile marker with no vehicle because they'd have a gas in it and they'd be gone. But I was on the phone, and it was a comfort to be there. And that's the way God is for us. He's a comfort to know He's there. He doesn't hang up on us. He says, He doesn't tell us, "I don't have time for you." He doesn't even say, "I got to go do this other thing." He stays right there. As long as we can focus, He will focus. It's just a prayer. He's only a prayer. That's why He said, you ought to always pray. You ought to pray first. And then pray again. And it's not the profoundness of the prayer. It's not that we know exactly what to pray. It's not that we have the total solution. It's that we pray. And the more that we draw comfort from prayer, the more determined we are to pray, the smaller our prayers can be, because we know that He hears us. It's like when I asked the Lord if there was any significance to that time, and He said, "No significance." And then He repeated it, "No significance whatsoever," just to make sure that I got the fact there's no significance, and because I was already trying to think, "Oh, there must be something." God said there wasn't any, Roger. You don't need to figure something out. But He never said, "Oh, forget what you're thinking about there," either, when I began to consider more important things. I don't think I considered more important things. I think He planted a seed because it was a good time to think about those things. Never underestimate the power of your prayer. Never underestimate your need to pray, or how God needs your prayers. Why would He need my prayers? It's kind of like my old Fiddler on the Roof song, where they were singing to each other, "Do you love me? Do I love you? For 25 years I've washed your clothes." You know? And at the end of it, together they harmonize and say, "It doesn't really matter. It doesn't mean a thing. But after 25 years, it's nice to know." Don't make God wait 25 years. Don't make Him wait at all. Amen? Amen. And so, Lord, we're thankful that when we pray, You do hear us. That's not just a word that we know from the Bible that we can be sure of, but it's a word that we pray, will just sink into our hearts, just land in our hearts, that we might always be stirred to pray, even if it's just to say, "Oh Lord." We thank you, Lord, that even now we feel your presence and your confirmation of your desire to hear us and see us and care for us. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, Lord. Amen.